This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and curious friends. You are looking great. My name is Jed Lee, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek into the real world of scientists, engineers, astronauts, aquanauts, as they solve problems in their jobs using curiosity, cooperation, creativity, and critical thinking. Please welcome to the show my partner in exploration, the dean of all things STEM and STEAM, Jennifer Swanson.
Hello, Jed. How are you today?
Oh, man, I am so excited. It is always a blast when we get together to solve problems.
I know, right? I mean, hello, who doesn't have problems in their everyday life? But I have to say, some of these problems that we're talking, that they're solving are amazing, like the one we have today.
Really? So, okay, what? Time to spin the wheel?
I think we should spin the wheel.
Here we go.
How do you capture live venomous lionfish for scientists? And why would you want to?
How do you capture live venomous lionfish for scientists? And why would you want to? I mean, I don't... What's a lionfish? Is like it got the mane and everything, it roars underneath the water and stuff?
Yeah, not quite. It roars, but it does have kind of these cool... It does sort of look like a mane when you look at it. But these things, as we said, did you hear the part? Venomous?
Yeah.
Venomous.
Yeah. Yeah, that means they got veins and stuff, right?
No, like as in they could kill you because they're poisonous. They have poison in them. So we have just the expert today on our show to talk about how you would do this safely and also why. So let's welcome Grant Lockridge. He is the diving safety officer for Dolphin Island Sea Lab. Welcome to the show, Grant.
Hey guys, nice to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So Grant is going to help us solve a problem. How do you capture live venomous lionfish for a scientist? This sounds intriguing here, right? I mean, first of all, the question is, why would you want to catch live venomous lionfish?
So I regularly get asked to do things like this. My job is figuring out how to do the science that a scientist wants to do. So they'll come to me and ask, and say, I want to study lionfish. I need a whole bunch of live lionfish. Can you get them for me? And my job is to say, yeah, sure. We'll see what we can do. So specifically in this instance, the researcher wanted to do gut content analysis for lionfish. Now, if you don't know, lionfish are an invasive species to the Gulf of Mexico and up the Atlantic coast. They're originally from, over by Australia, or what we call the Indo-Pacific. Their population has grown to pretty outrageous numbers locally. It's not uncommon to drop down on a piece of underwater structure and see several hundred lionfish. Just tons and tons and tons of these guys. And the big problem with them is if it fits in their mouth, they'll eat it. And nobody wants to eat them because they're venomous. They have spines on them that are kind of nasty if you get poked with them. So nothing wants to eat them. Where they're from, there are animals that have evolved to eat them. So their population is not a problem, but here nothing keeps their population in check. So there's just tons and tons and tons of them. And so go ahead.
Do you know how they got here? Or, I mean, I guess they've been here for a while.
They've been here for a while. There's a lot of speculation. So these are questions for the scientist, right? Who has all the background information.
Right.
But so what I'm relaying is, is kind of what they've told me. But the idea or the biggest kind of sticking point with how they got here is that they were released from aquariums. They've always been a very popular aquarium fish because they're very pretty. They look like they have lion stripes. They have big kind of frilly feathers all or fins and all over them. And then they got the big spines across the top. So they're really cool looking. So people have always had them in aquariums. And then they think that some people released some down in Florida in the late 80s. Possibly even associated with a hurricane. So someone's house with a tank got flooded maybe. Can't really say for sure. But from that, the population has steadily grown. And since 2005 or so, it's really, you start to see, similar to with the coronavirus, that exponential growth. The numbers just really start climbing really fast until, you know, potentially bad things happen to the environment. So what are those bad things? Well, we're still kind of trying to figure out what that is, but they do eat everything. So they're impacting, you know, all kinds of fish, all kinds of different fish species, even fish that we like to eat ourselves. So maybe baby snapper, they're eating a whole bunch of baby snapper or baby grouper, things like that.
Wow. That would affect all those populations and then all these other things. And if no one's brave enough to eat them, then the population grows.
Now, I should say that they are fantastic to eat. They taste very good. They are very, very, very delicious.
You can eat them?
You can eat them.
Poisonous, right?
No. So poisonous and venomous are not the same thing, right?
Okay.
So poisonous means if you eat it, you get sick. Venomous means if it sticks you with something like a venomous snake, right?
You can eat
a snake. You can eat all the snakes. But if a certain snakes bite you, then you can have problems. Same thing. So they have spines, but if once you, you know, remove the meat from around those spines, it's fantastic eating. But anyway, back to the science question. So the researcher wanted to know, okay, what are these guys eating? And after they eat something, how long does it take them to digest that stuff?
Oh.
The fish they ate, right? Because if they eat a fish and it sits in their stomach for a month, that will impact how many fish they actually ultimately remove from a reef versus if they eat a fish and 2 days later it's completely digested, right? That means they'll eat more. And
that's a good question.
That was the question, right? And so they said, to do that, we need a whole bunch of live lionfish. That's where my job comes in. So they did all the background, kind of what I just was talking about. That's all, they did all the research and the background information. They figured out problems they wanted to solve. They came up with some hypotheses about those problems. And then they said, okay, now we actually need the animals. How do we do that? So they came to me and said, can you do this? And I said, I'll give it a shot. Now locally, this is different kind of where you are geographically, but locally, the lionfish occur deeper than 60 feet. And that presents a problem because if you catch an animal, a fish in particular, at depth, so it's between 60 and 110 feet, and then bring that fish to the surface, their swim bladders will expand, and they'll get something called barotrauma. So their bellies become very distended or very stretched out. And so they have swim bladders that have air in them. You take that air is under pressure. At, you know, 90 feet,
right.
As you bring them up, that pressure reduces and that air bladder expands. And that's the barotrauma action. And it will expand to the point where their bellies are blown up and they're flipped on they're floating upside down and they can't swim underwater. And that's, as you can imagine, a very stressful situation for an animal to be in. And so the first group of lionfish that we caught and brought back to the lab, they all died because of this problem. And so that right there in itself is a failure, right? So we tried it. It didn't work. Well, we don't just give up, right? That's not the way you do things. You keep kind of soldiering forward. You say, okay, what did we do wrong? Well, we blocked them from the bottom. Well, we're going to have to do that anyway. How do we work around that in order to get these fish back to the lab alive? So we try a whole bunch of different things. You know, we use kind of a scientific method where if you change a whole bunch of stuff, it doesn't really give you a whole lot of information. But if you change as few variables as possible in between your attempts, you can kind of isolate what the problem is.
Right.
So I think the next attempt that we did, we caught them, we brought them up slower. Right? If you bring them up slower, the thought was that they would have a chance to equalize or get some of the air out of their swim bladders themselves.
Which is kind of like what you do as a human when you dive deep, right?
Exactly. Only the difference, this is not technically completely true, but the difference would be that as a human, how long were we down at depth? Not that long. So let's say no more than 30 minutes, right? So how much additional gas did we put into our blood? A known amount that with an ascent rate as, how fast we come up is that is slow enough we can equalize ourselves as we get back to the surface. Whereas that fish, how long was that fish at that depth? Years?
Yes.
Right? So how much gas they have in them is much different. That's not technically correct because it's actually their swim bladder and not the inert gases in their blood. But, so the idea. Yeah, it's similar enough. So tried bringing it up really slow, didn't work. So we then expanded into kind of to look at other methods that people have used, in the past. So a common thing when you catch fish, when you're just regularly fishing, you pull fish up and their swim bladder is kind of puffed up out of their mouth. You can vent them or take a hypodermic needle and poke a tiny hole in that swim bladder, which will allow the air in it to come out. You can then take that fish and throw it back in the water and it can swim down. So that was ultimately the solution, was we bring the fish up quickly and then have somebody that can vent them on the surface, vent them, and then put them in a container to bring them back to the lab.
And that doesn't affect them? They can swim normally and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, so their buoyancy control, or their ability to kind of hover in the water, is impacted a little bit sometimes, but because we're using a hypodermic needle and poking a tiny hole. Yep. It heals up very quickly, right? Almost instantaneously if it's done very well, because the tissues just come back together and seal that hole. Cause it's not typically under pressure. You're just putting a hole in it to allow that air to escape, pull the needle out, and then it almost instantly seals back over.
I think a lot of people don't realize that when you go underwater, you're the water, that weight is pressing down on you, that was something that I never thought of, never realized, and that affects your body and obviously affects the fish.
Oh, it's huge, right? Have you ever tried to swim to the deep end of a swimming pool? Right? Mm-hmm. What happens in your ears? You mm-hmm. can feel it, right? It hurts, right? Yeah. That's the pressure of the water sitting on top of you. And the deeper you go, the more water's on top of you, the higher that pressure is in your ears, right? How do divers go down that deep is we equalize, right? So what the pain in your ears is actually, there's a difference in pressure from outside to the inside of your ear around your eardrum, right? So you have your eardrum, inside of your eardrum, or the pressure inside of your sinuses is lower than the pressure of the water. So you feel that pressure, that water is pressing on your eardrum, and that's what that pain is when you swim to the bottom of the pool. The way you deal with it is you grab your nose and you blow and you pump air into your sinuses. And that will equalize the pressure. You'll make the pressure on the inside of your head the same as the pressure of the water around you, and then there's no more pain. Right? So there's water pressure is a big deal. Yeah.
But I think that's one of the issues that you run into that a lot of people don't realize. It's, you know, you throw something into your pool in the backyard, you just kind of go down and hold your breath and pull it up. It's a lot different, a lot more complicated going down 60 feet underwater to pick up and bring back a lionfish.
Yeah, it is. Kind of described how we caught them and brought them back, but you know, there's a lot of other considerations we had to take into account. You know, how do you handle these things? They are venomous. If they poke you, you're gonna really regret your life for a little bit. They're not gonna kill you. Studies show that it's not going to kill you. I'm not saying it would never kill you. You may have an allergic reaction or something like that, but it is very, very painful to get stung by a lionfish. I've been stung a handful of times and it's no fun. But their spines are on their dorsal, right? So on their top, think like a dorsal fin of a shark, right? So all on the top. And then they have spines kind of by their butt, on the bottom, right? So all their spines are straight up and down.
Long spines? Like
the ones on the top, on the larger lionfish can be, you know, 5-6 inches long. So yeah, they're It just looks like a dorsal fin. So have you ever seen a sailfish? You know what a sailfish is?
Yes.
With a big, pretty dorsal fin, right? So that's kind of what lionfish look like. They got a great big, pretty dorsal fin, but each one of those fin rays is actually a spine, a needle, that can poke you. But the good part is they're all pointed straight up. The ones on the bottom are pointed straight down. So if you grab them from the side, right, by their operculum or their gills, they can't get you. And the lionfish.
You grab these by hand?
Yep. Well, kind
gloves
of.
Gloves or just hands?
Yeah, we wear gloves. Yep. We wear gloves. But because they are, there's no predators for them, right? So if you don't have any predators, are you worried about a whole lot of stuff? No. Mm-hmm. No, you just kind of hang out. Exactly. Right. So we just go down with just like a regular dip net, a net that you can, catch minnows in your backyard with, right? You go down, there's a lionfish sitting there. You just put it over the top of him. Right. And you kind of mix him up and he ends up getting kind of tangled in the net. Right. So he can't move too much. You reach around, you grab him from the front. Right. One hand, thumb on one gill, your kind of middle pointer finger on the other gill through the net. And you hold him securely like that. You can then turn the net inside out and then take him over and stuff him down into a container and continue on. Keep going. Catch more.
Oh.
But they are very, I'm gonna say, they're not dumb, but they're very dumb. Like you could, oh, I missed him. He just moved 2 foot. Oh, I missed him. He just moved 2 more foot. You get lots of shots at these guys. Like they don't really care that you're there at all. It's not like a normal fish that'll swim away from you. I mean, if you irritate them enough, they will just because they're irritated at you. They're very rarely afraid of you. They just kind of sit there and look at you.
I'm wondering, Grant, how did you get this job? It seems really cool. You're dealing with all these different problems. Did you just decide one day to put a sign up outside your shop saying, scientists, come here with your diving problems?
No. So I've never really been good at school, but I've always really liked science and outdoors and I've always been an active person. And so, my hobbies were diving, catching fish, just being outside. But school just never really clicked for me. I never really enjoyed it. Once I got to college, I ended up taking a marine science class, and that's when school stopped becoming work because it was the same thing that I was interested in, and then that's what allowed me to kind of push through the academic part. Once I finished school, I got a job here at the Dolphin Island Sea Lab. And after a year or two, the diving safety officer at the time announced, said that he was going to retire and asked me if I wanted to take over for him. I said, sure, I'll give it a shot. And so that's how I ended up here.
Well, and you also get the cool job of learning about all these amazing discoveries and really cool science that all the scientists are doing.
That's probably my favorite part is it's my job is not repetitive, not mundane. I get to see physical oceanography, biology, ecology, geology, chemistry, all the different disciplines and get involved with all of them, and interact with the scientists, the experts in these fields. So it's really cool to be able to hang out with these guys a lot of the time.
Yeah. A lot of folks, they try to avoid problems, but it's like you embrace them and you say, bring me your problems. Hit me. Give me your best shot.
And the reason that's the case is because the solution's not what I'm worried about most of the time, right? So going back to the lionfish thing, right? Ultimately, yeah, we need live lionfish back at the lab. And with enough effort, that's going to happen. But what's the fun part? The fun part's going out and catching the lionfish, right? Even if we're failing while we're doing it, it's the method, it's the process that's fun, right? So if you don't let yourself get frustrated with failure, right? Like first round of lionfish that we brought back. Oh, well, they died. Well, that was a failure. That was a big failure, but that's okay because we took that, learned from it and moved forward. If you focus on, enjoying the process and less so the solution will work itself out ultimately.
Boy, I know that we have kids listening. I hope their parents are listening to this too, because there are so many parents who want to bubble wrap their kids and not let them experience any failures. And it sounds like failure is like a big fun part of your job.
It is. It absolutely is. And it's got such a bad rap, right? You go through school and you fail a test, right? That's bad. You don't want to do that. And that's true. You don't want to fail tests. You should do well in school. But you'll never learn anything if you don't fail, right? Anything that you do, sports, recreation, anything, like you shooting a basketball, right? If you shoot a basketball and miss, well, what did you do wrong, right? You shot too far to the left, too far to the right. I was too close. I was too far. So what do? You make a change and try again, right? Athletes are just really, 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 professional athletes are just really, really, really good, have refined that failure component to where they know they can go to any spot on the court and take a shot, and they know they're going to make it because they've done it and failed so many times that they don't fail anymore. That's how you get good at stuff. That's how you learn.
How long did it take you to enjoy failing? And well, not to enjoy failing, but just to appreciate the fact that, yeah, this is just part of the learning curve. This is just what I need to do to ultimately learn this.
I don't really have a good answer for that. I get frustrated like everybody else. I'm not saying I never get frustrated and angry and like, this isn't gonna work. No, I still do that. But you know, after several years of, you know, getting all wound up because I'm failing all the time, you start to realize that, well, even though I'm failing, the majority of what I did didn't work. Some of it did, right? So focus on the good side of that. And if I just sit there and put enough effort in, ultimately the solution will work itself out. It wasn't an instantaneous thing for sure. I mean, I would probably say I'm still not to the point that you just described where I enjoy failure. But I do have kind of the large scale view of, hey, just because I'm failing doesn't mean that I am a failure, right? That means I'm learning, and that means I have the ability to get better from that last attempt.
Hey, Grant, one of the things we love to do is get our listeners involved, get them up and doing something. What can you challenge kids to do related to our conversation today?
How about everybody go out, right? So I've been talking a lot about lionfish, and I would imagine that this is kind of a new animal to a lot of people. So why don't we have everybody go out, find a picture of a lionfish, and then tag us in it, send it to us. Let us know what you think about them, just for an awareness standpoint.
Yeah.
Well, maybe answer the question, would you be willing to capture this yourself? Mine'll be no, but hey.
That'll be great. And you can, however you create that picture of a lionfish, whether you're drawing it or doing some digital art or dressing up like a lionfish or dressing your dad up like a lionfish, just you can put it on social media, tag us, and we'll make sure we check it out.
But thanks for taking the time to be with us on Solve It.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Jennifer, that was amazing. I love speaking to Grant.
I know. Doesn't he have the coolest job ever?
Yeah. Helping scientists dive down and doing it safely and seeing all those fish and doing all those great things.
Well, and of course, the work that he did with the underwater forest with Dr. Helmuth's, Brian Helmuth's group. But, I mean, It's like you don't even think about it. If you're a scientist, you just go down there, you get on the boat, you go out, and you do your job. But think about all of the things that people like Grant have to do to set up and put into place. Pretty cool.
Yeah, really, really cool. And it's just a great reminder that everybody on a team is important, and all of the jobs that they're doing are so very, very important and necessary. There's like no small, insignificant job.
No, and his, of course, is most important because it's safety. So, if you want to learn more about what Grant does, and maybe you want to see some of these fabulous pictures of the lionfish he had caught, be sure to go to our website, solveitforkids.com, and click on the episode page, because every episode has its own website page with all of this cool information, and if you do the challenge, you might even be able to win a free book.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait until we get together again. Until then, everybody, thanks for listening to
Solve It for Kids.